Thank you, Laura. Thank you, Todd. How beautiful as we exalt the Lord alone in New York City, where so many idols and so little time, and each heart, even a born-again heart, is tempted to idolatry. So what power in that, Laura? What a beautiful, beautiful song. And in worshiping him, as we've seen in this series, in Ephesians chapter 5 and now into chapter 6, but I want you to start in 1 Samuel 2. It's a strange way to get to Ephesians 6, but we're going to get there. 1 Samuel 2. When we worship God like this, as men and women filled with the Spirit of God, women have the power and the grace, as we said 2 weeks ago, to love your man, to put him first, to stand by his side as an equal, and to be strong with him. Women find grace for that. And also men, as we saw last week, who desire to worship this God and this God alone and have a heart of thanksgiving. These are real men, because then they learn from God how to handle a woman. And how is that? Love her. Simply love her. Merely love her. Love her. Love her. Amen. And the Spirit empowers us to love in this way. Very powerful. I want to share as we continue our series today about honor and a matter of honor, children honoring and obeying parents, and also ultimately honoring and obeying God our Father, who is reflected in that honor and love for our parents. Now, how are you enjoying the Olympics a little bit? Anybody having a good time with the Olympics? It's amazing. Sandy and I have been watching as well, and been watching especially. I love the swimming and I love the gymnastics. Simone Biles is unbelievable. Unbelievable. We have been watching her. It's just crazy. And then Michael Phelps and Katie Ledecky, the swimming. Unbelievable. So amazing athletes, amazing stories. Now, you know, almost 100 years ago in the Olympics, 1924 in Paris, there was an Olympic champion named Eric Liddell from Scotland. They called him the Flying Scotsman. Olympic champion, a committed Christian. If you've ever seen the Academy Award film, Chariots of Fire, you see some of his story in that great movie. He said in the movie to his sister, he said, God made me fast. And when I run, I feel God's pleasure. And he honored God in using the gifts that God had given him. And he refused to run in his best race in Paris, which was the 100-yard or the 100-meter dash, because it fell on a Sunday and he didn't feel he could do that. So he missed his best event and decided to run in the 400 meter a couple days later, which was not his best event. And as he warmed up and prepared to start the race, another competitor came up to him with a folded piece of paper. Clearly had been impacted by this Eric Liddell's witness. And on that piece of paper was 1 Samuel 2, verse 30. God says, I will honor him who honors me. So God is in the honor business, amen? God is in the medal business when we honor those who honor him. And in that context, in 1 Samuel 2, Eli the high priest and his sons, the priest also, had not honored God. They had not honored God. And so we read in verse 27, there came a man of God to Eli and asked him, thus says the Lord, did I indeed reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt and they were enslaved to Pharaoh? Did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to go up to my altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? I gave to the house of your father all my offerings by fire from the people of Israel. Why then do you scorn my sacrifices and my offerings that I commanded for my dwelling? and honor your sons above me by fattening yourselves on the choicest parts of every offering of my people Israel. Therefore, the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promise that your house and the house of your father should go in and out before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. God is in the honor business. He's in the honor business. Eric Little won gold that day in the 400. Became an evangelist all throughout Great Britain, and then a year later joined his sister in China as a missionary, where he ultimately was martyred for Christ in China during World War II. Wow. The honor business, amen? God honors those who honor him. You can turn now to Ephesians 6. But you know, in America and in New York City, in our culture, this concept of honor is very complicated. One person's idea of honor and respect can be life-giving. Another's can be destructive. So we have the so-called virtue of honor among thieves. We have the honor of the mob, for instance. This thing of ours, resulting in extortion and robbery and murder. We have honor among kids in gangs. Kids killing other kids to earn respect. We have the religious gangbangers, people with titles and positions, powerful, who honor one another, protect one another, even give promotions to one another, all the while they're sexually abusing children. We have the political thugs, honor among thieves. Power-hungry people of all political parties, stealing and abusing power and lying and covering it up. And we also have the white-collar big business predators. You remember the image of the Enron traders caught on tape laughing and giggling and having a great time with their twisted esprit de corps, laughing about all the grandmothers and old people that they were ripping off? Honor among thieves. Not even to mention the brutal honor killing in the name of God. So when we talk about honor, it's not just a message. It's real life. But thank God we do have the genuine honor and respect in our culture also. We have the concept of life-giving esteem. For instance, those who serve and protect and bless us have as their motto, duty, honor, country. We even have a medal for that when they give the ultimate sacrifice, the Medal of Honor. We honor the office of our president and our mayor and our governor, and even when we don't always agree on policy, we honor, amen, the office. We honor our honorable public servants, and so we honor our teachers. and we honor our police officers and our firemen, our doctors and nurses, pastors and priests in the culture, have that honor. When we get married, we promise to love, honor, and cherish one another. And we're proud when our children make the honor roll. Amen? And ultimately and fundamentally, we honor God and we honor our parents. This is the most fundamental honor of all. It all starts there. And that's the context of Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. So we're to honor and obey as children our parents, and as adult children, we're to continue to honor our parents, even when we don't always like them. They might not even always like us, even though they love us. Even when we don't always agree with them. Even at times when we don't think they make sense. Let me give you an example. When I was 8 years old, my mom told me to do something which was outrageous. And I still remember it like it was yesterday. And I honored and obeyed her. I was 8 years old. There was a guy in school. He was 10 years old. His name was Hager. Can you imagine? Hager. We called him in the community Hager the Barbarian. Constantly picking on me, bullying me. 2 years older, much bigger, much taller, much stronger, and much meaner than me. And I would come home crying. One day, my mom had had enough. She said, David, today is the day you fight Hager. And I said, say what? She walked out with me. And then she began to talk to Hager. Hager, David's had enough of your nonsense, which wasn't true. Hager, David's not afraid of you. That was an outright lie. Hager, you may beat David up, which was true. But Hager, David is going to give you all you can handle. It was a false prophecy. And we fought. He crushed me. We became acquaintances. I became good friends with his younger brother. And my torment was over. To obey or not to obey, that is the question. Amen? Now notice the text just for a few minutes. Why should I honor and obey my parents? And the Lord says, because it's God's thing to obey your parents and to honor them. It's God's thing. And because it's God's thing, do it. You see how he starts off? Children, obey your parents. What's it say next? In the Lord. This is the Lord's thing. This little phrase, in the Lord, doesn't mean obey your parents if they're believers. Doesn't mean that. Never meant that. It means obey them in the Lord, in the context of your relationship with God, your walk with God, your life in God. Obey and honor your parents because this is God's thing. This is what God desires, amen? Doesn't mean if they believe, obey them. It means obey them because your parents have been called by God to teach you, to love you, to provide for you, to protect you, and to love you, and you obey them as you would obey the Lord. as you obey them and honor them, just like you would obey and honor the Lord. And that's why there are exceptions to the command to obey your parents as children. No child is called by God to obey to the point of sin and moral rebellion. Now, we realize when children are little, it's hard for them to discriminate those things. But the reality is no child is called to sin and commit moral rebellion against God in obeying their parents. That's an exception. Because when we obey our parents, we obey God, and we can only obey God in a way that honors him. And secondly is, no child is to ever be abused by a family member, by a parent, ever. God says no child is to be abused or must put up with abuse. A child that's victimized and exploited and abused, and some of us now, although we're adults, remember as children, my wife was abused by her father. No child has to submit to that, even though most children are in a position where they can't protect themselves. It's the horror of it. But it's important to mention the exceptions anyway, amen? And for the children, it's not your fault. Wasn't your fault then, it's not your fault now with the memories of being a child. Amen? Notice the example that Pastor Alphonse read from in Luke chapter 2. What an example that Jesus was in this area of honoring and obeying your parents. You know the context. When he was 12 years old, his family went to the Passover celebration in Jerusalem, and you know the story. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. But on the way home, they lost track of him. They thought he was with them, and he wasn't. And like all parents, they were wondering, where is he? They were getting concerned, and then they turned back to Jerusalem to find him. They found him in the temple, and like all parents that were afraid they had lost their child, when they found him, they were relieved, and they were angry. And like a lot of times our parents do, because they love us, doesn't mean that they always understand us. His parents didn't always understand it. Even though they love us, there are times they get mad at us. There are times they give us the third degree. They read us the riot act. Amen? And the Lord says there's a place for all of that. But The thing I want to focus on here is the way Jesus responded. 12 years old. It says he responded in verse 49 and said, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? Didn't you know that I must be about my Father's business? I must grow in my relationship to God, my Father. I love my earthly father," he was saying in so many words. "But I also am called by my heavenly father to be the young man that I am called to be." Amen? It's powerful. And they didn't understand what he meant. And yet he went down with them. He became to Nazareth. He was submissive to them. He obeyed them. He honored them. And his mother treasured all this in her heart, even though she didn't understand it all. And he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men. As he honored his parents, loved them, obeyed them, he grew physically and he grew emotionally and spiritually and socially and mentally in every way, and embraced his destiny from God. Glory to God. And so we honor and obey our parents as children because it's God's thing. Obey your parents in the Lord. But notice also, because it's God's thing, it's also the right thing. It's the right thing. If it's God's thing, it's got to be the right thing. And so we read in verse 1, again, back to Ephesians chapter 6, we read the rest of that verse. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is," what's it say? "This is right." This is good. This is right. Literally, the word is dikaios. It's actually the word righteous. This is righteous. This is a good and a right thing to do, to obey and to honor your parents. It's righteous. Now, it's interesting. This issue of righteousness in relating to one another and to our parents, it's reflected in a couple of other verses that talk about righteousness. Turn back for a moment to Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 23 and 24. We did messages on this. Remember the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde messages on putting off the old and putting on the new? He says, verse 22, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life. That would include disobedience and dishonoring people, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. He's saying this kind of love and respect and honor comes from people, from children, both young and adult children, who have seen God more and more make them more like Jesus Christ. And the old nature, more and more, Mr. Hyde is receding into the background, and Dr. Jekyll is coming to the fore. And in that power of a renewed mind and a changed life, we live righteously, amen? And that righteousness, that rightness, is a part of honoring our parents. It comes from that, from walking with God. My dad was a great example of that, like a lot of children in New York City. He grew up without a father. His father abandoned him and his siblings and his mother when he was just a little guy. So he grew up without a dad, abandoned by his dad. Years later, when I was a teenager, his dad was dying in a Baltimore hospital and called all the kids to come and be with him when he died, and only my dad went to his bedside. Honoring his father. Not respecting him. Sadly, because he was a man who had not gained or earned any respect. But honoring him as his father. And he looked up at my dad and said, please forgive me, son. And my dad said, I forgive you, Pop. I forgive you. Honoring his father. Out of his own walk with God. Look over at Ephesians 5 for a moment, verse 9. Let's start in verse 7. He says, therefore, don't become partners with them, that is, with the culture, with the world, those that want to deny the Lord and not live for him. For at one time, you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that's good and right and true. And so this idea of righteousness, again, what is right, is reflected in the fact that as the Lord makes us more like Christ, we more and more live like children of the light and no longer like children of the darkness. Amen? That's powerful. That's what propels us to honor and obey as young children and to continue to honor as adult children, our parents. My beautiful wife, Sandy, sitting with our four beautiful granddaughters over here today. Sandy and her siblings were abused by their father over many, many, many years. And you know, he never apologized, he never repented, although we trust that at the very end, perhaps he did, but only God knows. But he never did that vocally, outwardly to them, never asked forgiveness for all the abuse. And do you know, in the last few years of his life, as he died in Pittsburgh, do you know that my wife would go out there with her sister and they would love on their dad? They would wait on him, help him, serve him, care for him. Where does that come from? Children of the light. Amen. children of the light. Glory to God. In Matthew 15, the Lord got upset with the leaders there because they were superficially keeping the law, but they were denying the weightier issues of the law, like caring for and honoring their parents. And the Lord condemned them on the spot. For not honoring their parents. He said, you take what's valuable to you and you use it for religion. You use it for God and the temple. And yet it could really have been used by your mom and dad to help them in their later days. Jesus said, you have despised God. You're under the condemnation of God. You're all talk. You honor me with your lips, he said. But your heart is far away, and I can tell you for sure, because you're not using what you have to bless your mom and dad. This issue of honoring and obeying your parents is so important that in Romans chapter 1, when God is giving insight into the mindset of a Christ-rejecting world, right along with murder and robbery and greed and selfishness, he puts disobedient to parents. And you know what's even more shocking is in 2 Timothy 3, which is not a profile of a Christ-rejecting world, but it's a profile of a Christ-professing church in the last days. He mentions that you'll know the church in the last days who just profess and have no power because they also will disobey their parents. Wow. And it says in 2 Timothy 3, they'll be so filled with narcissism, self-love, and materialism, love of money and hedonism, love of pleasure, that they will have no love for God or for their own blood. He says, when you see the church more and more like that, realize the end is near. How horrific is that? Wow. And notice finally, we honor and obey our parents because it's God's thing and therefore it's the right thing, right? And because it's God's thing and the right thing, it has to be the smart thing, right? Anything God says is my thing is going to be the smart thing. So we go back to Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, quoting the fifth commandment. Honor your father and mother. This is the what? The first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Interesting. He says, obey and honor your parents because it's the smart thing to do. Because it's the first command with a promise that if you honor your parents, you will live a full life. Now, he doesn't mean when he says you may live long in the land, he doesn't mean that you will live a long life in terms of years. He's not talking about promising those who honor and obey their parents a lengthy life in terms of years. He doesn't mean that. Jesus died when he was 30 years old or so. Amen? He's not talking about length of days. He's talking about fullness of days. The promise is if you honor the Lord by honoring and loving your parents and being there for them, God will let you live your full allotment of days and will never cut you short in his judgment. Amen? Because kids in Israel who disrespected and cursed their parents were put to death. And so when the Old Testament analogy, he's saying, when you honor them and love them and obey them, your life will never, ever be cut short by the judgment of God. And so it's the smart thing, amen? It's the smart thing. The book of Proverbs tells us that when children disobey and dishonor their parents, they cause their parents grief. They bring their parents pain and sorrow. They cause shame to their parents. They bring reproach on their parents, and they bring ruin and destruction on their family. But notice Jesus. I want you to turn to John 19 as we begin to close. But notice Jesus. The very, very last thing he did before he gave up his spirit to the Father God was to honor and provide for his mom. His mother Mary was at the cross watching him die an agonizing death. And you see in John chapter 19, we read in verse 25, standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. There was a lots of dear ladies named Mary at the cross, and one of them was Mary, Jesus' mom. And notice when Jesus saw his mom, his mother, and the disciple, that is John, the disciple that Jesus loved, the disciple Jesus loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, and he said this, although in the English translation it looks a little abrupt, but it was tender in the actual language of the day. Woman, behold your son. What he mentioned that was, she was already beholding the agonizing death of her son Jesus, but he was referring to John. Woman, behold your son, the apostle John. And then he said to the disciple John, behold your mother. And from that moment, the disciple took her to his own home. That tells us a lot. Jesus' brothers rejected him during his earthly life. They did not believe he was the Messiah. They believed he was a phony. And the fact that Jesus would then entrust his mother to a disciple means that there was not unity in the family for sure. And so he gave her to the one he knew would love her and protect her and provide for her. The last thing he did on earth was to love and provide for his mom. And therefore, Jesus, according to the law, did not live a long life, but lived a full life. The full allotment of his years, amen? In the fullness of time, God brought forth his son. His destiny was fulfilled. It looked like he had died in ignominious defeat in that moment, and yet he cried out, "It is finished. Mission is accomplished." And in the midst of it all, the last thing I want to do is honor my mom and take care of her. What a savior, amen? Look at Proverbs 22, last verse for today. Proverbs 22. Look at verse 6. Parents, how can we encourage our children to love and honor and respect us? You see that verse? Train up a child in the way he or she should go, and when they are old, they will what? Not depart from it. The Lord says, love them enough to give them a foundation, give them roots, and love them enough to progressively set them free more and more. Give them wings. Give them roots and give them wings. Parents, if you and I love our kids, we pray for them, we share God with them, we discipline them with love, we say, I'm sorry, forgive me when we're out of line as well. We listen to them, we teach them, we protect them, we try to be an example to them. God says that when they grow up, they get older, they have more freedom. They will always be influenced by the way you and I raise them in love. Always. They will always be reminded of the life-giving impact of our love, even as they themselves get older. At times, they will thank God for us as parents in our love. Other times, they may curse us. They may be upset with us, angry with us, that they feel such pressure and reminders to live a different kind of life, a life that honors God. Because of our continued influence, sometimes they're facing that pressure of our prayers and our love. But God's love and truth will continue to impact them until the day they die. Let me share something with you that I, as your pastor, have not shared in my entire 19 years that I've been here at this church. I don't know if my wife has ever heard this before. I know my grandchildren haven't. When I was 18 years old, I did not know the Lord. I came to Christ when I was 20. I was in the Marines, and I was out in California, and I got into some really bad trouble. And I actually was on the run, AWOL, for a while. 18 years old. I got to L.A. where I could sort of disappear into the crowd a little bit, even though I didn't have any hair then or now, but I had a GI cut back then. And I was a tough kid, and so the big city was fascinating to me. It didn't intimidate me at all. In the middle of the night, as I was wandering the streets, AWOL with no money, no place to stay, I ran into this older guy. Now, I say older, he's probably 40. He looked old. And he said, "Hey, man, you crash with me tonight. No problem at all." So I said, "Sure." So went to his place. He's a bad guy. And he had a lot of money in the apartment. And I remember thinking that night, I can still remember it. It's almost 50 years ago. I was thinking, you know what? I'm going to rob this guy. I'm already in trouble. I'm going to rob this guy. And I was thinking, you know what? And if I have to, I will hurt him bad. It even crossed my mind that if he puts up a fight, I may have to kill him. 18 years old. And do you know what came to my mind instantly? My mom and dad love me. And if I do this, it will destroy them. And I didn't hurt him. The military police arrested me in Long Beach, spent a couple months in prison, began to read the gospel. 2 years later, Jesus gave me a new heart. Children, honor and obey your parents, or this is right. This is God's thing. In the name of God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and all God's amazed at the way God works with his grace, people said, amen.